The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come and join me if you'd like to. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. Today, Jesus' story is a beautiful story about how he wants to make sure we know that God is here with us. That God is here with us. So we know, you know, the Christmas story, right? How Jesus was born and came to live here on earth, just one of us human beings. But he was still the Son of God. The angel said, "This is going to be the Son of God, going to be your Savior, going to help with everything. But he's right here with you." Now in Mark's gospel, you see him kind of getting to work, okay? He's kind of getting himself going with all the things that need to happen. Last week, he was in the synagogue preaching and teaching, and he healed a man with an arm that was very, very hurt. And he set him free to be able to use his arm again, which was wonderful. Okay, this week, when he gets all done with the teaching, he goes to Simon Peter's house. He goes to their house, but he finds out that Simon's mother-in-law, that would be his wife's mama, was sick. She was sick with a terrible fever. She couldn't get up and do anything. And it was very serious. So Jesus goes, and he takes her by the hand, and he gets her up again. And as she stands up again, fever leaves her. She's fine. She's able to do the things she loves to do. Now think about this. When you have somebody come over to your house, what do you like to do? Is there anything you like to do when they come over? You like to show them anything? Or do you pull out a game to play or something like that? Yeah. Yeah, you do a puzzle, so you get the puzzle out. So can you imagine? Maybe Peter's mama-in-law says, "We got to get a puzzle out." She gets the puzzle out, and they get everything all ready so they can start to put it together, right? Because she wants to welcome them. She wants to be them to be comfortable in her house. Maybe if you came to my house, I'd probably either get you some lemonade or some water or a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, because I like to make sure you've got something nice to sip as we're talking. So maybe she went quick and got things out so she could have some refreshments for all her guests. Maybe she just took them around and said, "Here's a picture of Simon when he was a little boy. And here's a picture when he's all grown up and got married." Who knows? But she did some wonderful things to welcome them. She got up and began to, Jesus says, it says in Mark's gospel, she began to serve them, take good care of her guests. Isn't that lovely? So she went from sick and in bed and not able to get up at all with a terrible fever and all the miseries that go with that, to being able to get up and say, "Hi, so glad you're here. Wow, let's get together. Let's maybe make a puzzle. Let's have something nice to drink or something good to eat. Let me show you around the place so you can be comfortable here." Isn't that nice? Jesus was all about helping us be able to be who we are as much as possible. You know yourself, when you get to do something that really makes you feel good, maybe it's, I don't know, anybody here like to play sports? Sports? Okay, so maybe it's when, what do you play? Soccer. So you get that ball right in the place you want it to go, right? Doesn't that make you feel good? Makes you feel like, whoa, this is really good. How about you? What do you like to do? Maybe not sports, maybe something else? You like to knit. So isn't it cool when you get it all done, you cast it all off and it's all done? What a great feeling, right? What do you like to do? You like to play music, so you get that beautiful feeling of it's coming together, it's really sounding good. Wow, what a beautiful piece of music. Isn't that kind of neat? So those are the kinds of things that Jesus wants to get us up and doing so that we can feel our best. We can feel who we really are. You guys are gifted. You ladies and gentlemen are gifted people. You are gifted people. He puts wonderful things inside you that you love to do. And then he gives you a hand up so you can do them. Isn't that nice? He does all that because his big, most important teaching to us is that he is here for you. And as you and I learn about that, all of a sudden we find out he's here so we can be for others. We can play that music, make that beautiful knitting, get that goal soccer-wise. What do you like to play? Soccer, so you get that goal or be a great part of the team and everybody works together so well and you get that wonderful feeling. He is here and then not only for you, but through you for others in wonderful ways. He changes this world and makes it good just through you. Isn't that marvelous? So I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for helping all of us see faith from your perspective. Because that helps us see it more clearly, too. Thank you very much. And you can go back and sit down. Thanks for being here. We're glad you're here. Thank you. In Mark's gospel, everything goes in a hurry. I was reading it on the plane. I went to see my daughter and granddaughter out in Boston last week, and I was reading it on the plane, and it is amazing how quickly you get through Mark's gospel. It goes very quickly, and he's always using an expression in Greek that means, and immediately, so they're, go, 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 we keep on moving, and immediately we went to do this, and immediately we went and do that. It's just amazing how it moves, and so here we are. In Epiphany, we've been reading through this, the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And so I wanted to tell you, at the same time, it moves so quickly. At the same time, things keep on happening, kind of unfolding quickly and very excitedly. It also is worth taking time to look at the detail that Mark gives you. We think that Mark's Gospel was perhaps the first one written of the four. Mark's gospel was the one written most quickly, soonest after Jesus was with us and then resurrected. And so it's kind of got some interesting details that are worth really paying attention to. So I commend it to you. I know I mentioned this last week. If you could read the whole thing through, it's worth it. It's worth reading all the way through. One sitting. It should take you just a little bit of time. I don't think you can do it during the halftime today, but, you know, try it out whenever you want to and see what you can do with it. But it's so worthwhile. And so a couple of the details I wanted to share with you today that I think will be helpful. One of them is that you recall that Jesus' good news was the kingdom of God is at hand. Sometimes it just says the kingdom of God has come near. I like better the expression is at hand because if the kingdom of God is at hand, you can touch it, right? That's part of what he's trying to convey to us. The kingdom of God has come so close, it can touch you. You can touch it. God is here. That's maybe the most important thing he's trying to help us know. And when he talks about, he calls us to repent. The word is literally turn around and get back in connection with that kingdom of God, that presence of God, that love of God that's here for you. So the kingdom of God has come near. And in this gospel, very quickly, Jesus gets right to work, showing what a difference that makes. Remember last week, the man in the synagogue, Jesus healed his bad arm, right? And then today, we hear the story, and it's just nightfall, basically, in the town where Jesus is. He goes with Simon Peter and Andrew to their house, and that night, quietly, privately, in their home, he heals Simon's mother-in-law. She had a terrible fever. She couldn't get up and do anything. She couldn't be herself, right? So he heals her, and it's kind of cool because he takes her by the hand, and it says, and he raised her up. Okay, back to the details, right? The very special words that we hear. The detail here is the word raise is the same word for resurrection. This is the same word that Jesus uses about how after 3 days, the one who's died on the cross will be raised. Very same word. We want to keep that in perspective because Mark's gospel is a gospel about the resurrection all through. And it starts in chapter 1 and it doesn't quit. God never quits on us, raising us, lifting us up, renewing us so that we can be who we really are. God never quits. God's so close. God's always at hand to do that in us. And so a part of this good news that Jesus is taking to the people, he turns into healing. He turns into setting people free. It says he set them free from the demons. Imagine the things that oppress your life, that captivate you, that keep you from enjoying breathing and doing and living and getting out and about. Imagine those things that oppress us. Jesus sets people free, sets lives free from that. And then, in the case of Simon Peter's mom-in-law, he actually sets her free from an illness. Again, impeding her from moving forward. He raises her up back to life, renews her so that she is free and strong and able to stand and go and do what she has been called to do, which is serve. Sometimes, people have interpreted this word about her serving and said, oh yeah, she has to go right back to women's work, which granted, in that day, it wasn't easy to be a woman, second-class citizen, struggling with all kinds of oppression. We get it. But in this case, that's not at all what she is doing. Instead, what she is doing is revealing what it is to be Jesus' disciple. Because disciples serve as Jesus serves. Isn't that interesting? The word is the same a few chapters later when Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay? He says that because that is what God is all about. Equipping first the Son of Man to serve, and through him, all of us who seek to follow Jesus. Service, caring for others, is our calling. And so this woman, in her healed state now, she gets up and gets to be a beautiful example of a disciple, someone who follows Jesus by serving. So she gets up and she takes care of that crowd that has showed up at her house, Jesus and his disciples, and then later, I'm sure she was out and about, probably taking tea or coffee or whatever was the local equivalent, among all the people who gathered by her front door to be healed by Jesus. Did you see how in the story, as soon as they knew he could do this, oh, wow, they brought everybody to be healed, to be set free from their demons, to be healed of their diseases, so that they would be able to stand up too and be alive in the way God designed and desires them to be alive. So all came, and Jesus, it says again, another one of those details in the word. He healed many. He set free many from their demons. I want you to know that's a code word. In the parlance of the day, many meant everybody. Many meant the whole shebang, not just one or two. So it wasn't a matter of, Paul, you get healed, and Irene, I'm so sorry, but we ran out of healing today, all right? No, that's not at all what it says. It's everybody that came received the blessing. Everybody that came was helped. So when you hear that word many, please do not exclude anybody, because God doesn't. God never does. That's a really important part, again, of hearing the word closely. Well, there's one more word that's kind of interesting in this. Well, there's all lots of words, but one more that really interested me I have to share with you, and that is Jesus had healed everybody. They all went home, went to bed, and in the dark, before the dawn, he gets up and he goes to, it says, a deserted place, which simply means he went out in the wilderness. He went out where there weren't people, basically, and he prayed. He found time somehow in the midst of all the comings and goings to connect again with God. He needed that. In the beautiful passage from Isaiah, it talks about how those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Jesus was renewing himself. He went to that quiet place so that he could connect again with God and himself be renewed for the work that he would do. It says that Simon and the others came searching for him, and they even said to him, "Everybody's looking for you." And I don't know if you watch NCIS or any of the other police shows on TV, but I do. I like Mark Harmon and some of the other wonderful parts of NCIS, but one of the things I had to learn was BOLO. What's a BOLO? I was like, what does that mean? Be on the lookout. The lookout. BOLO. For, right? Be on the lookout for is a BOLO. So they had a BOLO out on Jesus, right? Everybody was looking for him. If you see him, tell everybody where he is, you know, so that we can get him. What was that all about? It was just as if somebody issued a BOLO for me, I'd be scared to death. It's like, you know, this is a little scary, a little bit creepy that somebody wants you that bad, you know. And that is, in this case, what the language means. They wanted Jesus very badly. They wanted to have him, almost you could say control, hold on to, hang on to, keep him there. And what is his response to that? He says, okay, come on, we got to go. We're going to go to the rest of the Galilean towns because that's what I came to do. Not to be your private physician in this one place. Not to be the one that you have to somehow get a reservation in order to see me. Not at all like that. I got to take the good news everywhere. So let's get out there and let's start doing it. Let's start walking through all of Galilee and eventually to Jerusalem. And eventually he would send even folks like Simon Peter and Andrew to the ends of the earth. Why? So that by all means, God would be gathering all of us in, right? As Paul talks about in his letter, by all means, reaching out, gathering all of us in. Jesus says, I'm not captive. You can't hold me anywhere. Quite the opposite. I am not only free to go, I am free to be with everyone. I am free to be with everyone who needs me. Knowing what we know about our world, is there any place that doesn't need him? No. So he equips you and me. He comes to you and me. He's the one who raises us up, helps us be his reflection in this world. He helps us be the ones who serve as he served. He helps us be the ones who, knowing the grace of God, know we've got the best thing to share with whomever we meet, wherever we go, whatever we're called to do, whatever we're called to be. He becomes the one who equips us. Is there anywhere you can go that he will not be for you? No. Is there any place that you will be lost from him? As it said in that beautiful passage in Isaiah, oh, the Lord's forgotten us again. And Isaiah goes, are you kidding? God cannot forget you, ever. You are priceless. And perhaps you begin to know it when you serve and bring that gift to someone else who needs to know that God loves them deeply, abidingly, forever, for always. God loves them sometimes, right straight through you. In Jesus' name, amen.